TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. Get in the know. Non-stop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Everson Griffin, officially no longer a Viking. He signed with the Dallas Cowboys, and we're going to talk about it and his legacy with the Vikings and what the Vikings should do going forward. But a quick word for Federated Mutual Insurance Company. Federated has been helping business owners for over 100 years in Minnesota and outside of Minnesota. But they're based in Owatonna, and this pandemic year, they have been in overdrive helping you business owners with pandemic policies, HR response plans, and risk management tools. Federatedinsurance.com to find a full list of industries they protect. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours.
Football.
And welcome into Purple Daily. Phil Mackey, Judd Zulga, Declan Goff producing here. And the news out of yesterday, the Vikings had essentially parted ways with Everson Griffin months ago, and Everson posted a goodbye on his Instagram. But then COVID hit and free agency came to a slowdown, and teams just stopped bringing in free agents. And so there was a thought that maybe he could come back to the Vikings. They did make him a lowball offer, according to Doogie from the Scoop Session on Mackey and Judd. But it winds up being a, let's see here, 10-year career in purple for Everson Griffin.
Yep, 2010 fourth-round pick.
74.5 sacks.
Yep.
And had three seasons with double-digit sacks, including a career-high 13 in 2017. Mm-hmm. So before we dive in, he goes to the Cowboys, if I didn't say that already. So before we dive into what the Vikings should do, how will you remember Everson Griffin as a Minnesota Viking?
As an absolute draft steal, because he fell to the fourth round out of Southern Cal in 2010, and he did so because of off-the-field problems. And if you guys recall, I believe it was after his rookie year in which he made the team but didn't play much, if I'm correct. He got arrested twice within 1 week. At one point, and I believe they were both in California because he played for the Trojans, and one of the arrests, if I'm not mistaken, was he, for lack of a better term, grabbed an officer's junk.
The other arrest, I think he was organizing a party bus to
That wasn't the arrest. That came after the two arrests.
Okay.
He was organizing a party bus to go from California to Vegas for a Super Bowl party.
That's amazing.
And that is, I think, where the Vikings stepped in and called him and said, I think it was Frazier at the time, and called him and said, Everson, this is a really, really bad idea. You just got arrested twice. But at that point in time, the off-the-field concerns had come to fruition, and there were real problems there. And so you said to yourself, is this guy ever going to get it? These are really stupid things. Who gets arrested twice within 1 week after going home and then says,
yeah, it's a problem.
What I'm going to do is have a party bus to a Super Bowl party in Vegas. It makes no sense. So I'll remember him as being an absolute steal and a guy that the Vikings did a very good job of developing, and he clearly became a dominant right end once Zim got the job. But you know, the impressive thing about him too, Phil, is think about this. Think about the amount of time that this team was looking for what they consider to be a dominant pass rushing right end, right? Now, they traded for Jared in 2008, but before that, you ran through Udeza, Erasmus James, and it was really hard. It was really hard. And to find one in the fourth round and get as much as they did from him for as long as they did is impressive. So to go back to your question, I will remember his time as a Viking with him and a team turning himself from, you know, skeptical of, does this guy have a clue? And he did, of course, in 2018 have the off the field issues as well. But for the most part, turning himself into a really, really good player for a long time at a position that in this league is hard to fill.
Yeah, I think I'll just remember him as a great reclamation project from some of the stuff you said early on with the off the field issues and immaturity and whatever it was. But also, I don't think it has to be painted in this picture of him having emerged from all of his personal troubles and built this perfect life on and off the field. I mean, he has stumbled as recently as a couple years ago, and we don't know the full details of some of the things that have happened behind the scenes, but we know that he's had imperfections and he's had some struggles and issues. And we also know that he's thrived on the football field. He has also thrived at different points as a dad and a family man too. I'll never forget my favorite Everson Griffin moment personally. I used to host on 1500 ESPN when Royce and I had the afternoon show from 4 to 6 o'clock, and then I would host solo from 6 to 7 o'clock. And the day that he signed his first big contract, Vikings PR was able to connect our show with him. And I think we did the first interview with him right after he had signed this contract. And so I get him on, and he's just like, he's in his living room. I think you could hear, like, he might have just had a baby or something. I don't know. But he was at his house, and he was just in his Everson Griffin way, and he's got kind of talks like this. I'm just so excited, man. And it's like the most purely excited I've ever heard someone. And it wasn't just because he became a multimillionaire. It was because he had gone through a bunch of crap. He had worked his ass off. He had grinded from being a mid-round pick instead of a first-round pick, put in the work to earn this contract, and I think he's lived up to all of it as a Viking. And I think and hope that the departure was amicable. I don't think there's really hard feelings. And now he gets a shot with Dallas. Dallas is going to be a problem, by the way, in 2020.
They can rush the quarterback.
That team should not have been 8-8 last year.
They got a few guys that can rush the passer.
Yeah. So, Dex, your thoughts on Everson Griffin?
I loved the sack daddy, man. That dude always brought
the house.
The sack
daddy.
There's some memorable moments, obviously, when he had his kid's name written on his shirt when he sacked Matt Stafford on Thanksgiving in 2016. And, yeah, just the steps he took to get out of being a little bit of a troublemaker into a very polished football player and obviously a better human being off the field. And yeah, I credit Mike Zimmer, too, for unlocking him and getting him in a right spot. And like you guys said, I don't think it was any ill will. I hope there wasn't any ill will towards the end here because I still think there's still a good amount of game left in him and I'm excited to see what he does in Dallas.
So, yeah, the other options were Green Bay was sniffing around and Seattle was sniffing around.
Yeah.
So the Vikings, they lose a defensive tackle. They lose a starting
How do you guys feel about
Everson
this? How do you feel? Because the one thing I love about this move is, how do you feel about the fact that it's pretty clear to me the Vikings got out probably a year too soon? So, like, on Rhodes, it was a year too late. Like, if you could have gone back and been like, Mike, Rick, just release him. It's done. Because there were things that we saw from Rhodes in 2018 that concerned you for sure. And the drop-off in 2019 was awful, but it wasn't completely shocking. Do you feel good about the fact that it's almost like the Vikings might have learned a lesson from Rhodes at a different spot and were like, you know what? This is probably we could bring him back, but we're not going to. And they got out probably a year, you know, before they absolutely had to.
I'll throw Linval in the mix. I think they got out just on time with Linval. I think there's a chance that Linval could drop off even more. I'm okay with it. I think you'd rather be on this side of it than on the other side, like Xavier Rhodes. So they definitely learned their lesson. And the Vikings probably look at Odenigbo and say, well, that guy had 7 sacks and half the snaps. And maybe he's not as good overall as Everson Griffin was, but he's 25 years old. And if you give Odenigbo 700 or 800 snaps, usually it's like 900 or 1,000 snaps is kind of a full season. Mm-hmm. If you give Odenigbo even like 75% of the overall defensive snaps this year, he probably gets double-digit sacks. And he's going to cost a lot less money than Everson Griffin was making the last couple years. So I'm fine with it. And I think in general, if you can swap a 32-year-old out in the NFL for a 25-year-old, you should probably do it. And the Vikings made that decision. So what do they do now going forward, though? I mean, is it Snacks Harrison time? Is it Jadeveon Clowney? For me, it's Clowney time. I think you make Clowney a one-year offer and see what happens. You got $12.5 million in cap space. Give him $8 or $10 million and see what happens.
If you are a competitive team with some cap room, which the Vikings are both now, okay? If you are that team, the one thing about the Griffin contract that he is going to sign with the Cowboys that should thrill you is the fact that it is a one-year, $6 million deal, base salary of $3 million, all right? Which means, with the names that you just broached, Phil Mackey, there are bargains to be had. Like, this is late night infomercial TV shows. I got a Snacks for you, and I got a Clowney for you, and I got a Logan
Don West
Ryan
is hosting.
For you. Yes, you are not going to believe this Jadeveon Clowney when I bring him out. Yeah, and you can call now. Call now, and I'll throw in some knives with him, too. It's that good a deal. So the one thing that strikes me off the Griffin deal is that this is bargain time. And if you can convince one of these guys, hey, look, one-year deal, You're coming to a place where we're known for defense, so we're smart. You know that, right? And we are going to put you in every position to succeed. And we're not going to pay you handsomely, but we're going to do is make you successful. And you are going to, hopefully post-pandemic, go out after 2020 and get a three-year contract or a five-year contract. So the thing about the Griffin contract that if I'm the Vikings or a competitive team excites me is that it is time to get out and get bargain hunting, baby. Unless a guy says, I'm opting out, screw it. You got to sign somewhere.
Yeah, like, I just don't think you can let that money burn a hole at this point.
And why would you, unless it's going to go towards Dalvin? But if you were, if you really want to be competitive in 2020, as we discussed a couple days ago, Phil, I think the logical thing is to also say, no, let's invest this in a player right now as well.
I think I'm actually kind of like, now that I'm thinking about this and we're going into it, if your defensive ends, if your starting defensive ends were Danielle Hunter and Adenabo, and then Snacks Harrison was signed to a one-year prove-it contract of some kind, and you put him in the middle there, I'm actually leaning a little bit more toward that than okay. Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah.
But either one of those guys, Mike Zimmer should be licking his chops.
Or a corner. A veteran corner.
The corner's fine, but I'm going for the flashy defensive lineman at this point.
I just think that the Griffin contract, because he's still a good, productive player, I think that contract now basically spells out for the rest of this crop of guys, if they want to play,
yeah,
that they're going to have to take a bargain basement deal.
Well, I have one more Griffin-related question for you guys here. It's going to be a segment within a segment, but if you're on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/ScoreNorth, listening to Purple Daily or watching Purple Daily, what would you do now that Griffin's gone if it was Snacks or if it was Jadeveon? And it's, let's say, similar money, that it's going to be close to like $8, $9, $10 million on a one-year deal. Are you going Snacks or are you going Clowney?
I'm going...
Okay. Drop us a comment, by the way.
Okay, I got a question, first of all. Do we know if Snacks is being sincere that he said that he hated the Lions and Patricia so much that he didn't try? Because if he really didn't try, then I'm really tempted to go Snacks. But if he's saying
which
that
is hilarious, by
after
the way,
the fact now,
he's admitting that I got sick of my coach and so I stopped trying, that's like a reason to want to sign a guy.
Would you work hard for Matt Patricia?
I think Matt Patricia is overblown as a buffoon. I don't think Matt Patricia is, he's not Bill Belichick by any means, but I mean, is he that bad? Is he that bad where like great players just stop trying?
Positionally, if Snacks can still play, I need Snacks more than Clowney. Clowney, on the flip side, is the sexier player.
And yeah. Clowney also has this intriguing upside that we've never seen anyone truly unlock Jadeveon Clowney. You've always been waiting for, like, why doesn't he get 15 sacks or 20 sacks?
He's also 27 and Snacks is 31. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you're just asking in that retrospect, I think you have to take Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, the age thing, if you're looking for guys just under the age of 30.
But I need a fat man. I don't trust a fat man right now. I don't trust him. Can you trust the fat men inside?
Not the current ones with the Vikings.
I mean, God bless them. I'm sure they're great guys, no. But I don't trust the fat men.
All right, here's my segment within a segment for you guys.
Mount Rushmore is easy.
It's the cliche Mount Rushmore Sports Talker of the Week with Mackie, Judd, and Rami.
That is why I would put him on the Mount Rushmore. Those would be my four.
All right, Mount Rushmore of Vikings pass rushers. How close is Everson Griffin to being on the Mount Rushmore?
Oh,
Vikings pass
purple
rushers.
People eaters have to be...
So, I want to clarify here, I'm thinking edge rushers.
Right, but
so,
I mean...
So, like, Alan Page was an interior defensive lineman.
But
so
Carl Eller was an outside rusher.
Jim Marshall.
And he's got to be on there. Jared Allen has to be, right? Absolutely has to be.
He almost broke the sack record. Chris Dolman.
Of course, he almost broke it by pursuing guys he didn't need to pursue, but that's okay.
Hilarious. Chris Dolman's got to be in the mix. Let's list all the guys in the
mix. Hold on a second. I'm going to go.
Johnny Randall played some defensive end and tackle,
nah,
but he's more
played
of an
a lot
interior
of interior.
Guy.
He played a lot of interior.
So he's off the list.
Yeah, I mean, he could definitely rush the passer. So you're talking
edge rushers.
The parameter here is defensive ends. Okay, so hold on. I'm going to look at Vikings all-time sack leaders to make sure we're not missing anyone.
I have the list right here.
Okay.
John Randall's, they didn't count sacks until like 1980,
yeah.
So
absurd.
Carl Eller and Jim Marshall would be on this list.
Okay.
John Randall, Chris Dolman, John Randall, we're saying he doesn't count because we're just going edge rushers here. Chris Dolman, Jared Allen, Everson Griffin, Brian Robinson.
No.
Danielle Hunter.
Love Bira, but no.
Lance Johnstone.
Okay, Danielle Hunter is pending. He's in my Mount Rushmore queue.
You've currently, like, you're sculpting it.
I'm sticking him in the queue.
You've got the
He's got to wait.
You've got the construction
crew. I can't
crew.
Do it. I can't do it yet. I'm putting him in. Yeah. I'm working on it.
Okay.
Like Trump, you know? I'm working on it.
But he's a better...
He wants to be on it. I'm working on it.
He's a better pass rusher in his five seasons.
I know, but I'm trying
than
to,
Everson Griffin
But I got to get
was.
To four, right?
Yeah, so Eller Marshall,
okay.
Dolman,
Allen,
Jared Allen,
okay.
B-Rob, Allen, Hunter, Griffin.
Eller and Marshall probably have to be on this, right?
Doesn't Dolman have to be on it?
Well, that's my point. That's why this is difficult.
I mean,
how many proposed sacks, if they had kept a stat that they should have kept, would Jim Marshall have had? Can you
dude,
find
Dolman
that?
Has to be. Dolman had 21 sacks 1 year.
Yes. Yeah.
Dolman's on.
That's fine. But, I'm asking a question. Can you find, is there an estimate of sacks that Marshall would have had?
Because yeah,
they did keep the estimates. They just didn't, like...
Again,
recognize the
so
stat.
Stupid.
It's the dumbest thing football.
Literally
did.
Have an intern go through and watch film and count the sack totals.
But why didn't you get? Why wouldn't you have counted in 1960? Like what in 1960?
You didn't think about it.
But you're getting to the quarterback. It's not like some analytic that you can't see.
I mean, dude,
it's
in 1960, like players were smoking cigs at halftime in the locker room.
And they
weren't thinking about like advanced
statistics. And they were
statistics.
Doing that in the 80s, and they had started keeping sacks, okay?
I mean, baseball didn't think to keep track of how often you get on base versus average. It was like your batting average
okay.
mattered,
all right.
But if you drew a walk, you were a
I'll give you a parallel.
Snowflake.
I'll give you a parallel. Baseball started to keep track of the save, at least recognize it, in 1969, okay?
So why didn't they think of it in 1930?
Okay, but I'm asking, why wouldn't you have thought of the sack in 1969? Like, it's a key part of the game. You're literally getting to the most important player on the field and slamming him into the ground, and then back then concussing
okay.
him.
Why didn't someone think to put cup holders in cars until, like, the 80s? People just didn't think of it.
Yeah.
You wake up one morning, you're like, you know what?
Okay,
if you sack, if you tackle a quarterback 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage, like we should count that as something. That's a great play.
Number one, do not ask me to worry about the world, okay? I don't have time. It's screwed up. I'm saying sports, which is my specialty here. Why wouldn't you have thought in about 1968 to be like, you know, it's really interesting when a big guy gets to the quarterback and slams him down. It seems like it makes a real impact in the game.
Who was the commissioner?
Hey, Jerry, should we track? Pete Rozelle.
Pete Rozelle. Yeah.
Pete Rozelle.
Overrated commissioner.
A very forward-thinking PR guy.
Overrated commissioner. Here are the Carl Eller and Jim Marshall sack totals. So John Randall on Pro Football Reference is credited with 114 sacks, and he is the official sacks leader.
But he played inside. That's where we're getting away with not putting him on this
but
list.
Just total sacks, like 114 sacks.
Okay.
Jim Marshall had 127,
okay.
according to whoever went back and watched all the film. And Carl Eller had 130.
Okay.
He also had three with the Seahawks
so
in
they're
his
on
last
it.
Year.
They're on it.
So those guys have to be on it.
Jared Allen and Dolman.
That's probably it.
They have to be. So Griffin falls short.
If there was a secondary Mount Rushmore... For edge rushers, it would probably include
where's
Everson
Manning
Griffin,
to make that sounder?
Danielle Hunter.
The cliche secondary Mount Rushmore.
Brian Robinson and like Lance Johnstone or something. I don't know.
Lance Johnstone.
Who else would be on
situational third down rusher. But
he was great for a couple of years.
But he's the type of guy who makes Griffin so important or impressive. The Vikings were so starved, right? That for a guy that could get to the quarterback at that time, that when they got Lance Johnstone, do you remember? We're all like, this guy's going to be great.
Yeah, Lance Johnstone. So his last year with the Vikings was 2005. And then Jared Allen came along, I think, in 2008.
Yeah, they traded.
And those 2 years between those two guys, like the quarterbacks would sit back for an hour and just pick the Vikings defense apart, the secondary. But they could stop the run.
And they tried to draft for it because they took Udeze in the first round.
Yeah.
And he eventually got sick, of course. But then they took James in 2007. And he was supposed to solve the problem at right end and clearly fell way short. So, yeah, those Allen, Eller, Marshall, Dolman.
Mount Rushmore is easy.
It's the cliche Mount Rushmore Sports Talker of the Week with Mackie, Judd, and Rami.
That is why I would put him on the Mount Rushmore. Those would be my four.
Okay, we're not done yet, though. Of the four that we just proclaimed to be on the pass rush Mount Rushmore for the Minnesota Vikings, who does Danielle Hunter eventually knock off? Because he will knock one of them off.
I think
at this rate.
I don't think Eller and Marshall are just so solidified and iconic and the sack leaders. So statistically, they're solidified. Purple people eater, iconic, to use a favorite word of Patrick Ricey's. Four Super Bowls. Like, those guys are just at the top. I think it's Jared Allen. I think you would pass Jared Allen because Chris Dolman had that run in the 80s and then came back and had another run in the late 90s.
Okay.
I mean, if you're asking me who's the better pass rusher career between Jared Allen and Chris Dolman, I think it's Chris Dolman. So I think Danielle Hunter would be looking to pass Jared Allen.
Okay.
And Jared Allen had a lot of his career numbers came with the Kansas City Chiefs, too, his first 3 or 4 years in the NFL. Now, Dolman went to San Francisco and I think Atlanta.
And he came back here, yes.
But Dolman was an original Viking. Eller and Marshall. Well, actually, Eller was drafted by like the Bills. But you think of him as an original Viking. Jared Allen was a Viking, but also like kind of a Chief.
Sure.
Danielle Hunter's a Viking. So that should matter, too, on the Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
Declan, would you, Dolman or Allen, who's the low-hanging fruit there?
I mean, he'll definitely pass Allen, but I think it's not even a far-fetched statement to say he could be the greatest defensive end of all time because he's still so young and he's racked up
with
so many
Vikings.
Sacks. With the Vikings, yes. Okay. I think Danielle Hunter can absolutely pass all those guys.
I agree.
I think he's that much of a monster, dude.
What is he at, 55 sacks right now, something like that? I mean, he's at 50. Yeah. He's got 50 sacks. He's like 25 years old.
Oh, he's fantastic.
It's ridiculous.
Carl was drafted, interesting. So he was drafted in the first round by the Vikings in 1964, sixth overall in the NFL draft. But to your point, Phil, he was drafted in the first round, fifth overall by the Buffalo Bills in the 1964 AFL draft.
So he chose the Vikings, right? Is that what happened?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
what a weird dynamic.
For real.
Two professional leagues drafting a guy, and you have to choose? Why would you? Was the AFL draft first? So the Bills chose him? Okay.
It doesn't say.
Interesting.
But I'm sure it was based on contract.
So that's our ode to Everson Griffin, and the Dallas Cowboys are probably going to get
one more good
year out of it.
How many sacks does he get on November 22nd at US Bank Stadium playing for the Cowboys?
Is he a left or a right end for the Cowboys?
Ooh, good question. I'm going to say he's going to be a right end.
Probably right.
Over under 1.5 sacks. I'll take the over.
Over, me too.
Over.
Oh,
push.
I take the over.
Yeah, push.
Jacked up.
Yep. Thanks for hanging out with us on this episode of Purple Daily. Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad, Declan Goff. We'll see you next time.